see the Bombers fly up, up to win the Premiership flag.
Well, it's our great Southern stand-up. We've had a few of the leading comedians coming to the studio over the last few weeks, and great to have Damien Callinan, of course, multi-award-winning stand-up comedy actor, writer. He's best known to TV audiences for his role on Skid House and also Before the Game, as well as regular guest appearances on such shows as Spicks and Specks and also the Melbourne Comedy Festival Gala. Great to see you, Damien.
Good to be here, Brett.
Hey, good day to be talking some sport, and you've got a great love for the Bombers. Tough, trying times if you're
a
Bombers fan.
Yeah, it has. I was saying to you earlier, we had Joe Watson's written cards to everyone. It's taken a few years to apologise, but heard he never did it. So anyway, but Joe couldn't hand deliver all of them, so they sent the staff around. So I had Mark Neild knock on my door the other day.
Right.
And I must admit, I was fresh. I hadn't even showered yet. I was just got a bare foot with my hair all over the place. And he was very polite, and my rehearsed speech went out the window. We just had a nice chat.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a tough couple of years. But I wasn't always Essendon. That's the sad bit.
And, so where did the roots start?
Well, look, and it kind of alludes to the first story I want to tell you about. I worked for Collingwood till I was about seven. I come from Collingwood family. Yeah. My mum was first cousins with Fonz Kine, coached the 58 Premiership.
Yeah.
Absolute legend. So I had a Collingwood jumper knitted for me before I could walk, with Peter McKenna's number on the back. And yep. I wore that till I couldn't move the upper part of my body anymore. And it was around that time as my spine was starting to get scoliosis from trying to get this hand knitted number in, that the old man said to me, look, I'll tell you what, if you're back for Essendon, I'll take you to the footy every week.
Okay.
So he bribed me into, and it was in the dark years of, 73, 74, Essendon weren't travelling too well.
Tough sell.
And I said, look, I didn't commit straight away. I said, look, I'll see how I go. But by about a year, I was over the line. I backed for both for a little while, as you're allowed to when you're that old.
Mm.
And then eventually, and that was at that point he stopped taking me, to be honest. He went, okay, that's done.
Job done. Have you ever pined at all at any stage or leant back towards the pies?
No, it's kind of funny. And I had a lot, in my teenage years, I used to go to Victoria Park because most of my mates backed for Collingwood. Yeah. I grew up in the Collingwood zone. I had plenty of opportunities to go back. The kid over the back fence used to take me with his family to go Collingwood. Never enjoyed. I like them to win for my auntie. That's about it. She's as mad as Collingwood could be. When they cut her open, she'll be black and white striped inside.
Do you reckon there wouldn't be that many Collingwood fans who have converted over to the Bombers?
Yeah. I reckon had been 9 or 10, beyond the age of reason, I reckon the dad got me at the right time.
Yeah.
But he took me in the... I remember going to Windy Hill in 74, and we're standing in the outer, and it was in the days when Ronnie Andrews was playing, and Ronnie Andrews was sent half back against Stewie Gull from South Melbourne.
Yep.
And for some reason, I just kept watching, and it was the whole ground. It was a pretty dour sort of wintry day, and the play was congested, not moving a lot, and they were just standing side by side, and I just happened to be watching them. And Ronnie Andrews said something to Stewie Gull. Stewie Gull turned around. Stewie Gull, for those who don't know, was a big fella. He was as big as Ronnie. He had sailor tattoos, and he was a boxer. And I don't know whether Ronnie knew that, but Stewie Gull just turned around and just dropped him with one punch. And he was just floored. And then he didn't even move. He didn't even try and go away from the crime. He just stood where he was with Ronnie Andrews virtually unconscious next to him. And then not long after, and the crowd, only half the crowd saw it, a little bit later, a massive all-in brawl started down the other end of the ground. And everyone ran to it.
So this is Windy Hill?
This is Windy Hill.
1974,
okay. I reckon.
Yep.
And everyone ran to the all-in except for Stewie Gull and Ronnie Andrews. And Ronnie stood about 5 metres away. Just had Stewie in his peripheral vision. I reckon if he knew he took off, Stewie had him. So they just stood there and was like, we've had our fight.
That's how it was, though, back in that day, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was.
Some of the footage is unbelievable when you see what they got away with or what... Just sort of was condoned, you know?
Yeah, and I reckon it's the first time I ever saw a punch thrown, apart from, in the playground, but kids, but grown men hitting each other. I was mortified.
We're going to talk about some of your favourite football moments today. So the majority involved the Bombers, but there's some other ones too, because you've got just a great love of the game.
Indeed, yeah. I played till I was about 30 and kind of was a bit of a journeyman, played all over the country.
Great title, isn't it? Journeyman.
The Journeyman. It, basically, it's just a coverall for saying I couldn't hold down a game in one team, so I just kept. But it is, it's a great thing, particularly with country footy, that thing of, oh, the new bloke comes in, there's always a bit of a mystery until you actually see them play.
Yep.
And a mate of mine, Doug Vickers, used to, he was footy manager at Richmond for quite a while.
He was,
And Doug's a primary school teacher, and he's gone back to that now. And when he went back to Gippsland, he was living in Bunambra, which is right up in the high country. And everyone was very excited about this bloke from Richmond coming back, and they got him on the committee, and they all sat down in the pub to have a chat about the new blokes coming in, and they were eulogising about this new ruckman had come to town.
Yeah.
They go, oh, we finally got a ruckman. We haven't run for years. They go, oh, all right, yeah. And then one of them said, yeah, he hasn't played for 8 years. And eventually he said, how old is this bloke? They went, 47.
Yes. Oh, very good. Very good. Hey, just before we get into some of those moments, so what are you up to at the moment? Just around the traps?
I've just finished a power of touring with one of my shows, The Lost World War One Diary, all around the country. And we just filmed that over in Adelaide last week, and did a little bit of touring in my other show, The Merger, which is some people may know, it's about a country town footy club that's about to fold or merge, but instead they recruit asylum seekers.
Right.
So I'm touring that to Perth in January, but then later next year it's going to be shot as a feature film.
Okay.
It's exciting. I'll play the coach, but it's still open for castings. Brett, if you...
Oh, I'd love to be in it. Right,
we're looking for a 47-year-old ruckman to...
Right, well, probably not. Well, I haven't aged that much. And
that's all right. You're looking
not that
right.
tall.
Yeah,
but it's a good sort of script, isn't it? Because we've seen so much of that happening in country footy now, around Australia, where teams just fall by the wayside, or they find a way to survive and be reinvigorated.
That's right. Yeah, and trying to keep their identity through it.
Mm.
And, it was interesting when I was touring the show in South Australia a few months ago. The Merger.
Yep.
Country out South Australia were producing the tour, and sometimes we did it in local footy clubs, including a couple of merge clubs.
Mm.
I was performing in Sejuna,
okay,
right at the start of the Nullarbor, and at Sejuna Blues, and they'd merged with Smoky Bay in about 1989.
Yep,
and I was talking to Brett, the president there at Sejuna Blues, and they weren't travelling too well, but financially they'd done all right.
Yeah,
they were doing better than everyone else, and he started talking about the merge, and he said, "Yeah, Damo, the wounds are still raw from 1989. He said, there's some blokes, particularly Smoky Bay blokes, might come to the game. He said, we've done everything for them. We've, we give them three games every year, and they get the gate and they get the bar.
But, yep.
Still can't bring
those
themselves.
Characters. I've been involved in local footy for a long time, so I've seen so many, and you flick around in your sort of administrative role to a few clubs, but the people who just stay involved with one club their whole life, they're amazing people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the ones who, they're pioneers, they're just going to stay around. But, I guess it's what this is about. It's adapting to the changing world. And the changing world in this circumstance is not only rural living, but, accepting that we're a multicultural society that's ever evolving. And it helps in the show that the main refugee character is an absolute gun. Kicks 9 goals in his first game. And he's played a few games on Nauru with the Guards team. That's interesting. It's like you'll forgive all if you can play.
Exactly.
If they can play, they can stay.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to seeing it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get into some moments with Damien Callan, our special guest, of course, multi-award-winning stand-up comic. We'll play a bit of audio, which will get in nicely as well. And you can contribute. 9429 1116, the Great Southern Stand-Up, 17 past 2. Welcome back at 20 past 2, Sunday Sports Central, our Great Southern Stand-Up. Damien Callan is our special guest, leading comedian, of course, Bombers fan. Supported the Pies a little bit onto the Bombers.
It's made you feel a bit uncomfortable, isn't it?
Any connection? Did you say you had a connection? We were talking off air just a few moments ago. You threw in another one of the big Melbourne clubs. The Blues.
Oh, yeah, for a little while. My partner at the time was working for Carlton when we first started get together, and she was a mad Carlton fan.
Yep.
So to spend a bit of time with her on Saturdays, I ended up buying a Carlton membership. So I had a Carlton and Nissan membership sitting in my wallet. And I got to do a corporate event between the two clubs during that period.
Right.
And I held the two tickets up. It was a very confused audience. But I used to love going to Princess Park, though. That was part of the charm, though. Like, just hearing the singing and the closeness and the banter. Yeah, it's a different experience.
The suburban ground.
Mm.
Yeah, I do go on about it a bit, but I miss it. I just think footy, I love my footy, but, I just think to be able to stand and everyone having their own ground, I think we've really lost something with that. But who knows? We might, some of these things do a full cycle at times.
Who knows?
Hey, we touched on Essendon, South Melbourne. So Windy Hill, 1974. What are your other memories of that day? Did the Bombers win that day?
Oh, remember? Probably not. We didn't. I remember we only won a handful of games that year. But I don't think South Melbourne were travelling too well, so it might have been one of the ones. I mean, I was pretty young. Most of my memories of Winnie Hill are not being able to see very much because, you know, you're standing amongst blokes.
You always in the same spot? Where did you view the footy from?
Around, we moved around a bit.
Okay.
I remember there was one day where a big fight broke up around us and Dad kind of moved away from that area, realised it was too close to the bar.
Was 1974, was it the same year Essendon and Richmond, wasn't it? The big brawl that year, I reckon, when Mel Brown was throwing haymakers?
That was the one. Yeah, I remember that one. That was at Windy Hill too.
Yeah.
And I remember, they used to go to the ground at halftime on Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't show the game, but they used to just go to the ground at halftime and just show what's going on. And the fight had broken out. So it was still going on. And I remember kind of like there was players and trainers. There was a trainer involved and he threw a haymaker and he got knocked away. And it was like, oh, we've caught all this on film.
Yep.
I wasn't at that game, so I remember seeing it on telly.
Let's fast forward. Essendon Carlton, the prelim, 1999, just before you have your say, let's have a listen.
This is where they need a big mark. A huge pack of players. Waiting down in front was Rice. His kick is a poor one. Straight to Wallace. The mean, bad man. Can he cover himself in glory? He's lost it, and Murphy takes it away. That could be the turnover that cost them.
Just an incredible comeback by the Carlton Football Club.
They are into the grand final. Carlton is into the grand final.
The day where footy just really tests you. If you're a supporter on the losing end of that, when the expectation was that the Bombers were going to win.
Yeah, I need a moment here.
Just compose yourself.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. It is probably the most memorable game I've been to for that reason.
Mm.
And I'll paint the picture. I was there with Jo, my partner at the time, and all of her family who were Carlton fans. And I was there with Lawrence Mooney.
Okay, yeah.
Also a mad bomber. And at that period, Lawrence and I were working a duo together and spending a lot of time. And we sat there and you know, won't surprise anyone to let you know that Lawrence is a pretty cocky supporter. But we were having good fun. Yeah. It was really good banter going on all day.
Yep.
I was a bit the same. We both had this feeling that, we're playing bad, but we'll come back. And then we did in that last quarter, and there was a sense of inevitability, we're going to do it, until that tackle when Fraser Brown took down Dean Wallace, and then you just knew that moment. It was like, anyway, this incredible thing happened. The siren went. And I love my footy, but I'm also someone like usually 2 minutes later, I don't care, you know, I don't hang on to it.
See the bright
side
of life. We move on.
Absolutely, I enjoy the event. Of course, I want them to win. And
yep.
Anyway, I remember putting my head in my hands for the first time, and as I put my head in my hands, I'm like, "What are you doing? It's just footy." And as I did it, I turned around, and there was a guy sitting behind us who had been there all day, Essendon supporter. He had one of those leather Akubras on.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kind of ruddy blokes. He could have been 35 or he could have been 60. He just had never, didn't know what sunblock was.
Yeah.
Lips were broken.
Like a picture.
Yeah. In the day, this is 1999, so you could. He had a rolly stuck on the end of his lip. no hands involved, it was just a crevice and cracking his lip. And he was, I can't say what he was saying. He was just muttering, cursing, just, oh, bloody hell, oh, bloody hell, and crying. And I just went, oh, my God, what's going on? I turned around, Lawrence had already gone.
Yeah.
Lawrence had disappeared. And then I just watched Joe and her family just enjoy themselves, and I kind of went, oh, I just enjoy that, you know. And then I walked out of the ground and found out that Jeff Kennett had lost the election and everything was all right again.
Yes. That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I think back to when I followed Fitzroy, I'd be devastated for him. I always rang in Talkback Radio.
Yeah, right.
It's funny how I ended up in radio because Harry Bartzel was the big thing at the time.
Yeah, right.
He'd ring Harry after the game. You know,
to vent.
Despondent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe it, Harry. You know.
I mean, you see those people that...
Devastated.
And it's great to be passionate. You just got to... And there are times where I do get, more emotional than I'd like to, but you just got to have a balance.
Hey, North Melbourne Collingwood, we're going away from the Bombers for a tick. So this is 1994, and I'm trying to recollect this as I'm...
I've got this
on the screen. What was the game?
It was a Friday night
game.
Yeah. And it was I think it was North Melbourne's 75th anniversary. And it was a big one. There was massive fireworks. There was about 75,000 people there.
Mm.
I don't know whether it was 75. It would have been 75 years since they were in that.
Yeah, well, 1925, they would have come in. So what are we, 1994? Was that about
70 years? 70 years, yeah. Yep. Anyway, so that was the event. I just happened to be there because at the time I was, I worked in a family group. I was a teacher at the time, but my partner and I ran a family group home looking after state ward kids. And so I'd got involved in the local North Fitzroy Auskick. They found out I could play. I was playing at the time. And they kind of, when they got their gig at the MCG, they went, "You're umpiring, mate. Yep. You know what you're doing." Never umpired a game in my life. But of course, with Auskick, you're encouraged to make sure all the kids get a kick, and that means bending the rules and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so 75,000 rabid fans on a Friday night. I was on the wing where all the Collingwood fans were, and they got a bit bored. So our game was closest to them, and I'd copped an absolute hiding from the crowd. They were just yelling out things like, "You at the sideburns, how do you sleep at night?" And so I started making up more and more ridiculous free kicks to bring other kids into the game, and then accentuating my umpire signals. And it was actually really good fun. But
fair to say, didn't umpire again?
Didn't umpire again.
Right.
One and only umpiring event.
Unbelievable. There you go, 75,000. You think probably no one's looking.
I hadn't started stand-up at that point, so like if I can cope with, 20,000 Collingwood fans heckling, you can have a cup of tea.
Exactly. I'm really intrigued by the next one. So we're going back to the early 70s, Cadinia Park. Set the scene for us.
Well, I'd become so obsessed with footy at that point, and I can't remember. I think this must have been around the time when Dad had started taking me to footy, that I just wanted any experience. Like I collected footy cards and, I used to steal my lunch money. Not steal it, because I would just not have lunch and I'd buy footy cards on the way home. Anyway, Dad was a school principal, so during school holidays he always used to put, even if he wasn't going away for the 2 weeks, he'd just tell them, "I'm going away," and that would often just be an overnight or two nights in Ballarat, or on this particular occasion it was one night in Geelong. We drove down in the dead of winter, stayed at the Trevor Lodge.
Yep.
We got down there, they'd made no plans other than the booking.
Okay.
And my sister and I were going, "What are we doing here?" And Dad goes, "I'll tell you what, I'll take you down to Cadinia Park. I think they're training tonight." Yeah. And I was beside myself, but this is the best night. And it was pissing rain. And we get down there, I think it was a Tuesday.
Yep.
Got down, and I used to cut the teams out of the newspaper, and I watched all the sport shows, World of Sports, so I knew all the players from all the teams. And I got down there, and I'm looking at all these blokes, and I'm going, I don't recognise any of them. Yes. And it was a skeleton crew, just kind of, blokes doing half-hearted jogs around the ground. And as it turned out, whoever the coach was at the time had given the senior players the night off.
Right.
It was a bit rough. And only the twos were kind of around. And the only bloke I recognised, and he probably just did it because he couldn't give up training, was Kevin Sheehan.
Oh, there you go.
So he was the only bloke. And I was trying to get Dad to go and, introduced me to him, and I said g'day to him, and he said g'day to me back, and that was it. It was like they kind of epitomised just how into footy I was. That I was prepared to go and watch a team I didn't barrack for and watch their seconds train.
that's fantastic. Was there anyone else there watching them train?
I don't think even the coach was there, to be honest.
Just grab a couple of footies and make up your own drills. Essendon Melbourne Grand Final.
Okay.
Pretty good year for the Bombers, this one, where they were just almost, apart from one game, they lost to the Bulldogs, wasn't it? Etihad Stadium on that Friday night.
I lived on the line, the Broadmeadows line, so I'd catch the train home, and the Essendon supporters were coming.
This is how it ended before we...
We are almost there. You could argue forever who is the best team of all time, but as Jason said earlier, this is the best season we've ever seen. Kevin Sheedy joins Dick Reynolds as the most successful club in over 100 years at this famous club. And they have won their 16th premiership. And is there a better story than James Hird? Well, maybe Barnsley and Wallace get close.
Thank you, Bruce. A year where they just conquered.
Yeah.
Conquered all.
It was a great year. But I was saying the train trip home on the Broadmeadows line was... The Essendon fans became increasingly cocky. as the year went on, and they were pretty hard to bear, particularly on the train. Not so much at the ground, but on the train where they had time to, and it was full of Essendon fans always too, so they had no one to, you know, object or to cut them down. But I remember that night when we lost to the Bulldogs, cause the train was silent, absolutely silent. Like, the only noise was the sound of the door opening.
Yep.
Should each stop.
Yep.
But the day itself was great, you know, and it was never really in doubt most of the game.
It must be a great feeling, though. I mean, there's a lot of people listening who never get to see
That's
their team
right. Yeah.
Play in a grand final, let alone win a premiership. But to know early that, gee, this is our day. You can just feel it. Yeah. This is our day. It's been our year. We're just going to put the icing on the cake today. And
you know, the pain of 99 stayed with everyone, too. So you always knew that it... So they had that edge. And I don't think if we'd lost in 99, they would have been as good as they were, to be honest.
Mm.
But the day itself, I was great. I was there with Lawrence, Ernie, and my brother Chris and his son Sean, standing room tickets. And day was great, you know. It got a little bit weird in the standing room towards the end because Essendon crowd had, you know, knew we were going to win. And it was starting to get a bit niggly between... We had some pretty ordinary blokes around us who were...
Yeah.
Making it not as enjoyable as it could have been.
Okay.
Anyway, we got out of the ground and the freedom of that, we just didn't, you know, we hadn't planned the rest of the night. We went to the Baden Powell for a couple.
The Baden Powell.
And then there was just like, what do we do now?
Yep.
You know, just like, we're on the high and Lawrence went, we go to Windy Hill. All right. But we didn't know whether the players were going to be there or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got there and of course, it's a social club and you've got to be a social club member to get in. So we couldn't get in.
Yeah.
So we, I think we went to the Royal for one, and then went, no, let's go back.
Hmm.
We went back, and then Lawrence and my nephew Sean were they're the kind of cheekier. Chris and I were the innocents in this environment. But they started just trying doors all around the outside of the building. Just trying any door. And eventually...
Get me in.
Eventually, they just opened a door. It was unlocked. Not in the social club, but around in the Essendon admin.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, we found ourselves in the Essendon admin.
The inner sanctum.
In the inner sanctum on grand final night, just walking through the corridors. And we just kept following it, just kind of waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves in Sheedy's office on grand final night. And we just danced around his desk, just going nuts.
That's unbelievable.
Picking things up and putting them back. And we were going to write some messages on his whiteboard for him, but we thought, oh, we should. Anyway, we managed to find our way through. Out the back of the admin, through to the stand, and Lawrence and Sean snuck into the social club. Chris and I got a little bit. We got caught in the headlights with security guy kind of spotted them going in, and we thought, "Oh, we're buggered." So we retraced our steps and buggered off outside.
Great story.
But it was a great night.
How far did it extend? The next day,
pretty much. Yep. Yeah. Once we got them out, we went back to the Royal, and God knows what happened to that.